Amen. It's good to have Brother Leon with us and his family. As I've already said, we've known each other for over 20 years. I don't know, maybe you remember, but he's my dear friend and his family is too. They're just wonderful family, Christian family there. And we appreciate what they're doing in Collinsville with us. And you'll never know how thankful I have been for Ron Plott and Leon Gonzalez going with me to Mexico. I've been down there many times by myself. And it just makes a difference when you got a gringo with you in it or two.
Here with you all here at Welcome Baptist Church. Thank the Lord for you. Thank the Lord for your faithfulness. And I tell you, you've got a pastor who's very busy. And Brother Butler does a lot. He's a friend to me. I remember the first time, I may not remember the first time I met him, but I remember the first time that he invited me to preach here at Welcome Baptist Church, and I started coming down the road, and then it gets whiny, and it's, you know, never been back here. I pulled over. I said, I think I got to call somebody and let them know where I'm going in case I don't ever come back, and I may be set up. And I said, I think I'm getting set up, and I just met Brother Butler, showed up at camp meeting, and he said, come preach for me in Alabama, and I said, when I start coming down that windy road down here, I said, I think he's setting me up. I might be a noose or something waiting for me or something when I get out there. A bunch of people waiting to get me. But Brother Butler's been a friend, and I thank the Lord for him. I had a good time in Mexico with him. Of course, you know, you hear all the things that go on in Mexico and the bad things and the cartels, of course, you know, we don't go to look for any of that. And I guess Brother Plott was here preaching last week. And so y'all know Brother Plott. I had just met him on that trip. And so I had never met him before. And I thank the Lord for Brother Plott. But we're sitting in a restaurant in Mexico. And he starts saying, I don't see no cartels. And I'm like, shh, keep it down. I don't want to see them. You know, you don't know who's who. We're in Mexico and he wants to start talking about cartels. And I'm going, shh. Well, I don't want to see that. And we did have a great time in Mexico. So you hear all those things and you know, they're worrisome. And of course, I've only been to Mexico twice. Once when I was young, we went just for one day cross border. And then when I was an adult, I went right before I came to Bible college. I went to my dentist in town and I had to get wisdom teeth removed. And he said, $2,500 and I'll take all four of them. And I said, $2,500? That's a lot of money. And a buddy of mine said, you know what? I go down to Progreso, Mexico, and here's a dentist I use. And so I went down there for $125. I got all four of them removed at one time. And so that was a blessing. But so I had only gone twice. And, you know, so you hear all the bad things, and it's kind of fearful when you think, let's go to Mexico. And then you say, we're going to go with Brother Butler. So he's been there for going years. He's been going out there to Mexico. So I trusted Brother Butler, and I had a good time, brother. I thank the Lord that he was there, and Brother Chavelo, good man of God. And so that's a good person in there. We have working down in Mexico with the people. He's got a heart for them. He told me as we were driving, he said, Brother Leon, I went to the United States and I visited my daughter in Dallas, and there's a lot of good stuff over there and a lot of safety and security and just some things they may not have there in Mexico. He said, and I've been to the big cities in Mexico. He said, but I'm not comfortable, and I don't feel at home in those places. He said, I feel at home right here in this place where we were at there. And I said, well, that's good, Brother Chavelo, that your heart's in that work. And so I thank the Lord that I was able to meet Brother Chavelo, somebody whose heart is in the work, somebody who's a worker. And through everything that he struggles with and goes through, he's faithful to serve the Lord. And to me, I had never met him before. So he seemed like a healthy person to me and a strong person to me. But those who had known him said, no, he's not what he used to be as far as strength and his, you know, what he's been dealing with the sickness and the illnesses that he's been dealing with. But he seemed to me like a strong individual. And I thank the Lord that I was able to meet him. And you know how it is. If you go visit other churches or you're at camp meetings or people come visit your church and right away there's a kinship that develops because you have the same spirit on the inside, right? The spirit of God lives on the inside. And so you get that bond and that kinship as if you've known somebody for years and years and years. And you can talk to them and it seems like, and you just met them. And so that's the way it was with Brother Torello. As soon as you meet, and that's the way it is with Christians all around the place. You meet them and you think you've known them for years. And so we thank the Lord for the opportunity and the privilege. And thank you, church, for allowing me and providing my way to get up there and go with Brother Butler. It was a privilege to me, and I'm looking forward, if the Lord allows it, to go next year again and be out there, and I'll pay my way this time because I enjoyed it. Now it's something I want to do and enjoy doing. But one of the things when we went up to the church in I guess the place is called the village. Salta. Well, we went out to Salta and went to the church there and met the people there and such a blessing. Again, that kindred spirit that you meet individuals and here it is. And I believe I might have told this to the Spanish church here in Collinsville that here they are. Their kitchen is a grass hut, right? And they don't have the be able to go to a stove and hear the click, 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 and flame comes on. They don't have that. You know, they there's a fire that was started somewhere, and it may be the fire's been going for 20 years. I don't know how long, but they'll get something, a piece of wood from that fire to transfer it to the kitchen fire and start that. And you know, she's going, she's blowing, keep the flame on, and starts another kitchen or starts another fire in her kitchen there. And so the indoor plumbing, they may not have all the things that we've grown accustomed to having, but they, during church time to worship, it's time to have. That's not about that. I said, here we are in the United States, and God shows up in our service. And I thank the Lord for it, that God shows up in the service and meets with his people. I guess the songwriter had it right when he said, all is vain, lest the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And as long as the Spirit of the Holy One comes down, then it you say it's worth coming to church. And we'll come over and over and over and over just to see him do it again. Do it again, Lord. Meet with your people. Touch my heart. Speak to me once again. And so, where I go to church, I love Concord. Love camp meeting. And we've had some great services at Concord, of some great services at camp meeting. And the Spirit of God has moved, and the Spirit of God has touched hearts. And you know it's real. But in Salta, at that little village out in Mexico, can't even find it. I've been looking for it on Google Earth. I've gone as far as to where we abandoned the car to get in a truck to go down these trails. I've just gotten to that town, and I can't find the village anywhere on Google Earth. But God found it. And God showed up. And God blessed me. There's that Sunday morning, that Sunday service. And you can say, boy, we've been to church at Salta. And God met with us in Salta. And hearing the lady who come up and testified that morning. Raimondo's wife, he was a town drunk. And he's the one that gives up the property. He's the one where the building's now at, his property, the building's now there. And Brother Butler said when he first sees Raimondo, the first time he sees him without a shirt, smoking a cigarette or smoking something, and he's there and just a wild man. And but you meet him, you speak to him now, gentle, welcoming, makes you feel like you're right at home. All those people in that area made you feel at home. And who can do that? Who can do that? The Lord Jesus can do that. And he passed by their way there in Salta. And he's passing by their way on Sundays there in Salta. And he's doing the work there. And he's doing the work in Tepezinca. And you, church, have a part in that.
Right.
And Brother Butler has said the word this morning is rejoice. You can rejoice that you have a part in what is happening there in Salta, that you have a part in what is happening in Tepezinca. And don't think nothing's happening. God is meeting with his people. God is there. And I thank the Lord that I was able to go. And we know God is everywhere and can be everywhere at one time. And God is not. This morning we pray, Lord, meet with us here at Welcome Baptist Church. Lord, do a work here in our midst at Welcome Baptist Church. Touch your people. And so he can do what we're asking him to do here. And in whatever time it is here, an hour from now when Concord starts, he can do it over there. He'll do it in New York. He'll do it in Canada and Africa and Mexico. He'll do it. Because he's not constrained to just being at one place at one time. He meets with his people. And I thank the Lord for that. This morning, you got your Bibles, John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. The pressure's on because after I preach, we go eat. And so the pressure's on to get it done with, Brother Leon. And you can smell it coming in through here. And it, yeah. So the pressure's on, Brother Leon, to get it done. You know, my name in Spanish is Leon. And so in Spanish, it's Leon. Translate that back to English. You know what it is? Lion. And so I told them individuals, I said, now they're in Salta, and there was another church came visit us, with us there, and good musicians and good singing and everything. I said, now you can go back and say you've heard a lion preach. John chapter number 5. John chapter number 5 and verse 25. And we'll read a little bit here, John 5, 25. And Brother Butler's been a help to me, and he was a good host down there to us in Tepezinca. And so I thank the Lord for him, his friendship, Sister Kathy, their friendship, their family. And like I said, he's a busy individual, Brother Butler is. And so I thank the Lord for the opportunity he gives me to preach there in Collinsville and be a help there. John chapter number 5 and verse 25. He says, here the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not the testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. But I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive not me. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? And again in Romans chapter number 14, and verse number 11, here's what the Bible tells us here. In Romans 14 and verse 11, the Bible says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." And so here we see in John chapter number 5, just this little quick thought that I had, that here when I see this, I see that Jesus here is speaking about when he says that the time now is when every person shall hear. Every person shall hear some things. It's a little thought. Everyone participates in nobody. Everybody's going to participate, and nobody's going to get left out. Let's think about that. I was thinking about that on the way up here, that it doesn't matter what your background is. It don't matter where you came from, your creed, your color. None of those things matter when it comes to this eternal life, when it comes to judgment that is coming upon the earth, when it comes to the great white throne judgment, when it comes to death, when it comes to heaven, when it comes to hell. Everybody's going to participate. Everybody who knows is going to participate. God chapter 4, verse 4. That speaks about why he came. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. John chapter 4. He says, because it's an open hymn to preach the gospel. He said, to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them for the fruits, to preach the acceptable year. Bible says he opened the books to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and then he preaches, he closes the book. And we know that he's reading prophecy there. Something's gotten in my throat. And we know that he's reading prophecy there. But closes the book. The word turned to the prophecy that he's reading to. The prophecy continues on and talks about the day of judgment. Day of judgment. But he closes the book right here. And he says, at the acceptable year of the Lord. Well, now, we see Jesus again doesn't open the book, or where he talks about opening the book again, which I think is in relation to this. So, the book of Revelations in John chapter, or Revelations chapter 4, where he talks about that John says that nobody was worthy to open the book. But, so he's weeping. He says, weep not for the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's worthy. And then when he opens the book, judgment pours out. Talking about the seven seals and the seven trumpets and all this judgment starts coming out. But right here, he said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and he closed that book. And so right now in this dispensation that we're living in, is the dispensation of the acceptable year of the Lord. It is the dispensation of grace where one who is dead in trespasses and in sins can hear the voice of the Son of God through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, and be brought under conviction by the sweet Holy Spirit, and response in conviction, and be resurrected from death unto life. Right now is that time. Today is that day. The dispensation of grace, where you can be saved, where you can be born again, where you can receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You don't have to put it for another day. You may not have another day. Today is the day of salvation. Today we're in this grace dispensation. Don't put it off. The devil will tell you, put it off for another day. Don't get saved today. Don't get born again today. Don't trust Jesus today. You got tomorrow. You got next week. You got next month. There's nobody here who is promised 5 minutes from now. The Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So we all have an appointment. I don't know what day it is for you. I don't know what day it is for me. But there is not a doctor in the state of Alabama that'll sign an affidavit to you today that says you will be alive by this time tomorrow. There's not a one that'll do it. So right now is the acceptable year of the Lord. Right now is this grace dispensation where you can be saved and born again. It is right now. Don't put it off. Don't put it off, because it'll be too late. It'll be too late. Y'all know Pastor Allen would preach that message there in John chapter, I guess it's in 5, that pool of Siloam, where the waters were troubled. And when the waters would get troubled, then whosoever got in that pool first would get healed of whatsoever disease they had. And that's the way it is in salvation. You can be saved and born again and get cleansed and get washed from your sins, but you don't get in when you want to. I've witnessed to individuals who have said, I'll get saved right before I die. Thank you, brother. I'll get saved right before I am. Thought maybe it's going to be something different. It's ice water. But it might be something different, huh? Some syrup or something. Well, something's right there. And they say, I'm going to put it off. I'm going to wait right before I die. If you can get saved, if it's that easy, they say, to get saved, to get born again, all I have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. Is that it? I say, yeah. And they said, if it's that easy, I'll do it right before I die. I'll do it right before I die. I said, well, I take them to that story there about that pool of Siloam. I said, those that hung around the pool were sick and they were lame and they just weren't in good shape. But when that angel would come down and stir the pool was the only time you could get in and be made whole. So that's a picture of salvation. You can't get saved whenever you want to get saved. You get saved when the sweet Holy Spirit is inviting you to salvation. When he's knocking on the door of your heart and says, just like Zacchaeus in Luke chapter number 19, when Jesus comes walking through, what town was he from? Jericho. Comes walking through Jericho. And Zacchaeus, the Bible says he wanted to see Jesus, but he could not for the press, for he was little of stature. And Brother Butler earlier with all the children over here, I said, boy, he didn't have white hair. He'd fit right in there with them kids, you know. It's like, go get money, boy. And he'd be in there running with them, brother, to get money. But it's that white hair that separated him from them children. My offering just went. Shh. He said, Brother Chick, just cancel the check. Don't, yeah. All those good things, Brother Leon, it was going up. Now it's just going down. Cancel it. But Zacchaeus, little statue, wants to see Jesus. And the Bible says he could not for the press. So he runs before, you know the story, climbs into the sycamore tree for to see Jesus, for he was going to pass that way. The Bible says Jesus came to the spot, looked up, and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, for today I must abide at thy house. And Zacchaeus had a choice to make, did he not? He could have stayed in the tree and said, no, I'm going to wait till tomorrow before I come down. If he would have waited till tomorrow, Jesus would have left town. I don't know if Jesus ever comes back. He ever makes that trip again. The Bible says that the shepherds heard the message. Hey, there's a Savior born. Emmanuel, God with us. They hear the message. The angels show up. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. The Savior's born this day in Bethlehem. And the shepherds go. They hear the message. And then they respond to the message. And Zacchaeus heard the message. And he responded to the message of Jesus Christ. He said, come down from there. For today I must abide at thy house. And so today is the day of salvation. Today is this grace dispensation. Don't put it off another day. Why? Because here in John chapter number 5, the same Jesus who offers salvation, the same Jesus who offers life, the same Jesus who gives eternal life. Also, we see that he is the judge. He is the judge. The Bible tells us in, it says in verse, in the text, he says, we are told that the same life giver, that power is also found in the Son. The Bible tells us for whom this life, everyone is going to participate in this, but this same Jesus will execute judgment also. In verse number 27, the Bible tells us here, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also. And so he is going to execute judgment. So here we have the Son who gives life and gives everlasting life to to whosoever will. He gives it to whosoever will. And y'all heard the story of the writer of Amazing Grace. Was that John Newton? Writes that Amazing Grace, and he said he had read John 3:16, and somebody said, take out whosoever and put your name in there, John. He said, but when I did that, I thought, well, my name is John, but there's probably a million John, so he's not talking about me. He's talking about the other John. He said, but when I left that word, whosoever, in there, then I realized he's talking about me. Because you're a whosoever this morning. You can come to Jesus today and receive everlasting life. So this Jesus, who has everlasting life for whosoever will receive him, is also not one who can target and execute, but everybody participates, friend. Nobody gets left out. And I know we've made a big deal of participation trophy. And sometimes those ain't good, right? You compete at something, and well, we don't have losers. Everybody go win it. And
it's true. Second place at last. Not the plus. Second. Participation trophy. Sometimes you don't like participation trophy.
But here, everybody participates. Nobody gets left out. Well, I'm not a Baptist. I'm going to get left out of that judgment. Well, I don't go to church. I'm going to get left out of judgment. Well, I've never heard of the gospel. I'm going to get left out of judgment.
Everybody participate.
You will not get left out. John 3:36,
you fall in one category or another. He that hath the Son has life. He that hath not the Son shall not see the of the God. God by the time. Which road are the one?
Which judgment will you take place in this point? It's also two judgments.
You know, it's the being the seat of Christ, where the saved go for the rewards, to receive that those rewards, whether it's what you've done and then gotten, whether it's good or bad, wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, precious stone, it's going to go through that fire, and whatever comes out at the other end is the reward, and you're going to have those crowns, and you'll pass them at Jesus. I heard somebody preach a message one time about the saved standing on a heap of ashes, sifting through the ashes, trying to find something to give to Jesus. And I thought, boy, I don't want to be that Christian. I don't want to be that saved individual. Saved so as by fire. I want to be busy about the Lord's work and be busy about his things so that we could have something to cast at his feet. But I want to make sure that I'm saved and born again. I wouldn't put that off. I wouldn't let the devil run it through my head that you can put it off for another day, because he'll do it. When I wasn't saved, when I was a church member, lost, I'd sit in the pews and I'd hear the preacher preaching and the invitations be given out and the sweet Holy Spirit be nudging my heart. And I'd say, not today, Lord, not today. And I'd put it off and I'd put it off. I thank the Lord that he came by my house where I was living in Sitton, Texas, and come by my house and gave me one more opportunity to be saved and born again. But I remember reading my Bible, and it says there in John chapter number 6, when he's talking about that he is the bread of life, that if any man eat of him, he shall never die. And I said, I need that bread. And I read a little bit further, and those individuals there that he's speaking to, they also say, evermore, Lord, give us this bread. And then he says, well, you've seen and you've heard and you will not come. And he was speaking to my heart, and he said, you're not going to come either. I've already convicted you 3 times. I've already drawn you 3 times. I've already
invited you to salvation three times. I remember I got under conviction. The preacher was preaching on Zacchaeus, and the preacher starts walking down the aisle, and he said, Jesus right now is walking down your way, and you're in that tree like Zacchaeus was in the tree, and Jesus is coming down your spot saying, make haste and come down and receive him joyfully. And the Lord was speaking to my heart and said, you need to come. You need to come. And I did stay in my pew. Did not come to stay. I started thinking, what are they going to say? I told them I was saved, the brethren. Told them I was born again. I'm already a church member. What are they going to say about me? Well, if they're saved and born again, they're going to rejoice with you. And that's what we'll do this morning, is rejoice with you. There's rejoicing in heaven. You're not fooling the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not fooling God this morning. If you're not saved and born again, he's not fooled. The Bible tells us that everyone is going to participate, and nobody is going to be left out. Nobody will be left out. So he is going to execute judgment. Jesus tells us, I judge, and my judgment is just. What have you judged, Jesus, in this dispensation? In this dispensation, in the now is? And I believe that he says he's judged every man a sinner. Every individual's a sinner. There's not one individual who has not sinned. Every man is a sinner. And the Bible tells us this in Romans chapter number 3. In Romans chapter number 3, the Bible tells us that everyone has sinned. Even I know there's some people who believe that in a person called the Pope, and that he's God's representative here on earth, and when he touches certain things, he is God here on earth. And and they may say he hasn't sinned. But the Bible says something different. The Bible tells us different in John chapter number 3 and verse number 7. Here's what the Bible says. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proven both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. The Bible says their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asses under the lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in the way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever the law said is said to them that under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For the Bible says here in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just in the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So what has Jesus judged? That every man is a sinner. We're all in the same boat when it comes to that. Every man is a sinner. And it doesn't matter what you think of what you are, or your status, or where you've attained. I know we had the Freedom Rally, and maybe some politicians had come, and all that doesn't matter. Your status in this world, or what you think you deserve, or where you think you're at. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all, what they say is at the foot of the cross, it's just level ground. Kings and queens, presidents, dignitaries, they all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We read in Romans chapter number 14 and verse 11, every knee is going to bow. Everybody's going to participate. Nobody's going to get left out. Everybody participates. And so he has judged every man a sinner. And we know that he will execute future judgment also. And no one gets left out. In verse 28, he tells us the hour is coming. And I believe here are two resurrections. The first to close out this dispensation of grace, and those that have done good. Here in Romans 3:12, the Bible tells us, we'll read that again, in Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 12. Here's what the Bible tells us. Let me get over here. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none to do with good, no, not one. So it's two resurrections, the resurrection of the good and the resurrection of the damned he talks about. And so there's two resurrections here. And so there is none to do with good, no, not one. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 4. Let's turn over here and read a little bit. I hope y'all don't mind Bible reading today. Philippians chapter 4. The other day, my wife, she said, I started preaching at the Spanish church, and I just started taking off. She said, I don't even think you quoted much of a Bible verse today. You just preached. And I said, no, there was Bible in there, I'm sure. I'm sure there was some kind of Bible in there. I just went, what was I talking about, fixing the car or something? Philippians chapter number 3. And verse number 4, Philippians 3:4, here's what the Bible tells us. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless, he says. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, righteousness, which is of God by faith. And so as a lost person, Paul was good in the world's eyes. Even Paul, he had done good and was doing good. He says, as touching the law, blameless. And so as a lost person, in the world's eyes, he was good. But if you go back to the Garden of Eden, it's those fig leaves that Adam and Eve had sown for themselves. And if they were judging each other by their own standards, then they had done a good job. Boy, Eve, you sewed up pretty good. This looks nice. Boy, this covers up real good. And by their own standards, it looks good. And it could be by the world's standards, they say, man, you're doing good. You got nothing to worry about. You got nothing to fear. Oh, you're a shoo-in for heaven. You're a shoo-in for heaven. You live a good life. You do good. You do right. But in God's eyes, good enough, in the world's eyes is not good enough in God's eyes. God says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And, that filthy rags is what, the lepers would cover up themselves with. That's filthy rags. And so when God sees your righteousness, that's what he sees. Those filthy rags. And that's what we're covered in, before we're saved and born again. We're covered in those filthy rags. And so your righteousness and our righteousness is as filthy rags. But the Bible says that, we're to put on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That when God sees us now, he doesn't see Leon. He sees Jesus Christ in his righteousness, because I've put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so where are you today? Where do you stand? Are you standing in your own righteousness this morning? Are you, he talks about going in through a different door, a thief and a robber. Friend, when cometh thou, he tells him at the wedding. I'll come in a different way. Well, the Bible tells us in John chapter number 14 that there's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ and him alone. That there is no several ways to get to heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so you can try to get there in your own good works. You can try to get there by your own good deeds. It's not going to be good enough. Not going to be good enough. It wasn't good enough for Paul. It's not going to be good enough for you. And so in God's eyes, Paul wasn't good enough. But after he got saved on Acts chapter 9, on that Damascus road, the good that he does now is in Christ. And the good that he does is now recognized by Christ. And so after we get saved and born again, you start doing good deeds. And God starts recognizing those good deeds. Well, I wanted to preach a message this morning I believe I'm where the Lord wants me. But in the book of Revelations, where it talks about the seven churches and those seven churches and the rewards that those seven churches are going to get because they were faithful. And I thought about Welcome Baptist Church and its faithfulness to Pepsi.
It's faithfulness that it's followed. It's faithfulness. Thought about much about that we love the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done for us and how he's changed our life, and we know that he can do it for others, and we know that he can do it for the Spanish-speaking people, and he can do it for the Russian-speaking people, and he can do it for the he can do it for all people. Judge him. No respect for a person. Christ, the priest of the good God. Jesus is no respect for a person.
We'll take anybody else out. No respect for a person. And the Holy Spirit got on me and said, you're preaching it wrong. You're preaching it wrong. It's not that he'll kill you all the same. He'll save you all the same. He'll save us all the same. No respecter of persons. And so everybody participates and nobody gets left out. You know that in Thessalonians 4:13, where it talks about, I would not have you be ignorant. We see that the dead in Christ shall rise first, this pre-tribulation rapture. And so we didn't have time, we won't have time to cover any of that today. But he talks about here in Revelations chapter number 20. In Revelations chapter number 20, we'll go over here. I guess we could cover that right quick. First Thessalonians.
Okay.
We'll go to First Thessalonians and then we'll cover the Revelations. First Thessalonians chapter number. Oh, I can find it. He talks about, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others. Is anybody there before I get there? 1 Thessalonians 4:13? Yes. Are you there? Who's there? Brother Philip? Go ahead and read it, Brother Philip. All the way through 18. Amen. Amen. So there is a resurrection that if you're saved and born again, you're going to have a part in. If you're saved and born again, you're going to have a part in that resurrection. Everybody that is saved and born again is going to have a part in that resurrection. And that's going to be a wonderful time. Preacher Allen would say it's going to be a return, and then I'm looking forward to the reunion that we're going to be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so that's something I'm looking forward to, is that resurrection when it's all said and done. And when is that one going to take place? Any minute, any second, it can take place. That resurrection will take place. But then we go to Revelations chapter number 20. Revelations 20 and verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so everybody participates. Nobody gets left out. Either you're going to participate in that resurrection that we talked about, where we're going to rejoice and forever be with the Lord Jesus and be raptured out of this world, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and the churches gather together, and we'll be there forever and ever at Jesus' side. That is for the saved, and every saved individual will participate in that resurrection, and nobody gets left out. Why? Because that verse, whosoever in John 3:16, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, or for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That you took that whosoever and you said, that is talking about me. And I need to get saved. And I need to get born again. And you got saved and you got born again and you received the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you have part in that first resurrection. We'll have part in that resurrection that it talks about there in Thessalonians. And we're going to see Jesus. We're going to meet him in the clouds. And we're going to see our loved ones again. We're going to be reunited with them. And we're never going to leave his sight again. Everybody who's saved is going to participate in that resurrection. But then there's that other one we just read about. The other whosoever. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Everybody participates, Fred. Nobody gets left out. Nobody gets left out. And so God is planning those two resurrections. Those who partake in the first will go to heaven. And those who partake in the second will go into the lake of fire. And somebody said if you're born twice, you only have to possibly die once. But if you're born once, you'll have to die twice. You'll have to die twice. And this is, the Bible says, the second death right here is being cast into the lake of fire. Here's something for every man to think about. Every person can choose the time of his judgment. By doing so, can choose in which resurrection he will take part in. In other words, God has set before you today life and death, heaven and hell. You can say, I take Christ in life and heaven, or you can say, I reject Christ and take death and hell. Everyone will participate. No one gets left out. Why not participate today in the now is? Now is the day of salvation. Why not participate today in the now is the acceptable year of our Lord? Why not do it today? Why put it off? Now is salvation come to this house, Jesus told Zacchaeus. There's room in the Father's house. You won't be crowded out. There's room in this house today. There's room in salvation. He died for you. Come in and enjoy eternal life. Don't put it off. You can rejoice. Today could be the greatest day of your life. The greatest day of your life could be today. And you can go forward from this place rejoicing evermore. Evermore. We talked about that songwriter who sang that song, or wrote the song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. To save a wretch like me. I once was lost, now found. Was blind, but now I see. You know who wrote that? A saved individual who came to the realization, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus Christ. He said, we're all going to participate. Every one of us will participate. How about it today? I talk to individuals on the job. And one person told me one time, you really believe the creation story? And I said, oh yeah, I'll believe it all. He said, you believe there was a tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life in the garden and they chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil and not the tree of life? He said, think about it, Leon. Wouldn't you want to choose the tree of life? And I said, well, you think about it. I said, there is today a tree of life. There is today a tree of life at Calvary. Paul says he hung on a tree. And there is an opportunity for everlasting life. And yet people reject that gift. They reject eternal life. And they choose something else. They choose the ways of the world, whether it's pride. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. The rich young ruler, the Bible says he goes away sad, right? Because he had much riches. And I remember preaching, I told church, I said, don't get too hard on him, because some people are going away for much less. Going away for much less. Turning away from Jesus Christ. It's right, my pride. I'm not going to receive him because I'm prideful this morning. It's not worth it. Everybody participates, friend. There's a heaven and there's a hell. There's eternal life and there's judgment of God in the lake of fire, which is the second death. How about it this morning? He gives you a clear choice, a clear opportunity. He that hath the Son has life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. We'll rejoice with you this morning if you get saved and born again. Nobody here will judge and say, I knew it. Nobody here will do that. We'll just rejoice with you and say, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord you're saved and born again. I was a lost church member. I remember my wife went and kicked me one time and said, hey, during the invitation, I said, what do you want? She said, you need to get saved. I said, I am saved. And she said, you are? I said, yeah. So, oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. And another church service, one of the brethren come to me. I'm sitting in the back. We're praying. He comes to me and says, I came to you to see if you wanted to get saved. And I said, I am saved. He said, you are? I said, yeah. He said, I didn't know that. I said, I'm saved. And he went away. It stayed like that. But when the sweet Holy Ghost of God came my way and said, you need to get saved, no more. I couldn't say I am saved. How can you say I am saved? He said, you ain't saved. You need to get saved. You need to get born again. And it was a sweet day when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Just like that, friend. I've never been the same since. And he'll change you for time and eternity. You'll never be the same again. You'll never be the same again. Eternal life, a home in heaven, Holy Spirit living on the inside, joy unspeakable and full of glory, peace that passes all understanding. Well, he gives you all those great things which the world knows nothing of. But Jesus has all those waiting for you if you come to him today and be saved and born again. Thank you, preacher.